T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He swings! Alexander Steen on his forehand, hits a deep to left field! That's way back! Shoots! Score! And it's a goner! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yeah!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line, presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, Sports Open Line, time on KMOX. Chris Raby with you. It is the Wednesday, July 25th, 2018 edition of the program. Happy to be with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Sports Open Line from now until 8. Then Inside Cardinals Nation with Danny Mac from 8 until 9. And then I'm back with the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Show with Dan Reardon from 9 until 10. Cardinals lose again today, 7-3 to the Reds. Drop 5 of 8 on the road trip. We're talking some Cardinals. We're talking some hockey. Doing a lot over the next 4 hours on the program. Here's what I've got coming up for you in about 15 minutes. Tom Ackerman will be with me. Tom will talk Cardinals, and we'll talk a little Blues, and we'll talk his trip to Cooperstown. He's headed to Cooperstown tomorrow for the induction of Bob Costas to the National Baseball Hall of Fame as the Ford C. Frick Award winner. Tom Ackerman coming up at 6:30. 7 o'clock hour, Joel Edmondson of the Blues, a one-year, $3 million contract signed by Joel yesterday as he avoids salary arbitration. I know that a bunch of the Blues were up at Kevin Shattenkirk's wedding in New York, so Joel is just back from that, was back on the ice today, and he's going to join us to talk about the team, about the offseason, and about his contract and what he hopes happens moving forward. Would love to see him get a deal like Colton Parayko and get a long-term deal to remain a Blue for a very, very long time. 7:30, Barry Deitch of the PGA Championship will be with Tom Ackerman. So that's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock hour is Inside Cardinals Nation with Dan McLaughlin. Danny Mac going to be with Marty Brenneman, legendary broadcaster. That is from 8 until 9. And then the 9 o'clock hour is the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Show with yours truly, and Dan Reardon. So that's what we've got coming up. Tom Ackerman, Joel Edmondson, and more than Danny Mac from 8 until 9. Dan Reardon in on the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Show from 9 until 10. A frustrating loss again with the Cardinals today. Bullpen issues, execution issues, runners stranded, just kind of more of the same, more of the same. The bullpen over the 8 games on the road trip, 27 in the third innings, 40 hits, 23 earned runs, and 20 walks. And of course, yesterday, they were very, very good in the 4-2 win in 11 innings, throwing 4 2/3 scoreless, giving up just 2 hits and 1 walk. So then today, kind of tough to go in shorthanded. No Jordan Hicks available. No Bud Norris available. Sam Tuivalala, Mike Myers, question marks. I imagine Myers is not available. He threw 2 innings, each on the 21st and the 22nd, and through yesterday. Tui threw an inning and 2/3 yesterday. So a tough hand dealt to the Cardinals today. And after Jack Flaherty gave up 3 runs in 5 innings, John Gant came in on his throw day. You're going to hear from Mike Schilt in a moment, but he was good for about 45 pitches. He had some issues. Luke Gregerson had some issues. And the Cardinals had some execution issues. Just because I love listening to Mike Schilt and his explanations post-game. Here he is on Fox Sports Midwest after a 7-3 loss. Cardinals straining 22 men in the 2 losses in Cincinnati.
22 guys on base, and the good news is we had 22 guys to leave on base, you know, with tough at-bats, good at-bats, grinding at-bats. And the discouraging news is we couldn't cash in, you know, with a big hit or multiple big hits.
With the offense not putting runs on the board, is that why you pinch hit Pham in that spot?
Yeah, a lot of reasons. So, you know, Tommy comes up there. You might wonder, well, why not Garcia against the righty? Well, they got the lefty warming up, so we like the matchup better. Tommy's got some numbers against Hernandez. Keeps maybe Crockett at least one batter away from facing court. But so we go to Tommy there, try to tie it, and then we try to get to Carp and Yachty to you know, break it open a little bit. The other thing is we got John Gant in the bullpen. So, you know, you're looking at who's coming up for them. third time through the order for Jack. Although I'm comfortable with him going out, would have had no problem with him going out. But you feel like, you know, you got Suarez who's had a good at bat against him. Duvall kind of looming a little bit. You got a guy that's kind of an extended starter. Similar program we had the other day. You know, John's couldn't go as long as he could have the other day, you know, when we had Cincinnati at our place. But, you know, an inning or two out of him, feeling good about the way he's throwing the baseball. And then also you think about it, it's the last out in the sixth. We got the seventh and the eighth. And then if we're still down, you're looking at Iglesias. So not to say we can't get him, but, you know, he's a guy that shortens the game. So that was it, you know, take a shot. We got bullpen, everything added up to the decision to make sense to do it, and didn't work out.
Gam was scheduled to start Sunday. Is that still the plan?
Yeah, still the plan. Similar thing, you know, like I said, he 4 days off, chance to throw today. He and we had planned on it and really thought about right for that spot, quite honestly. And do some really what he did the last time, you know, for an inning or two, like I say, a little shorter. But he had about 40, 45 pitches today to be able to comfortably come back and start on Sunday. And so it was just made sense to using a guy that's been a very effective for us.
Could you see using Gomber in a similar way then? If he's sticking around, could you have him kind of set up for Friday, Saturday in a similar way?
We're always looking to be creative based on, you know, how much, you know, rest guys have and their availability. So we don't want to push too hard. But in today's case with Gant, just like last time, it just made sense. Have plenty of time to rest and get you ready to start. If that happens with Gomber or somebody else, then you know, we'll take our chances with it. So, you know, like I say, you started with we didn't execute some situations where we had some guys in base and could have done some damage, could have broken it up. And a lot of times when you leave those guys out there, it comes back to get you.
What'd you see again in this inning?
You know what? Look, he got the double play. Mm-hmm. You know, he had some close pitches to Votto. He made a mistake, made one mistake, and Barnhart made him pay for it. Just, you know, got a curveball up and put a good swing on it. But outside of that, he was fine. You know, he made his pitches, and in this ballpark, you don't get away with a mistake.
You mentioned a few times that you were a big hit away with a number of runners on a couple times, the bases loaded.
Right.
But was it also just a situational hit? Oh, I mean, a situational hit here or there, ball in play?
No question about it. I mean, that's all of the above. You know, it's we've talked about execution, and we've executed, you know, a fair amount. The hit and run was executed with Munoz and, you know, Fowler, and put us in a position. But, you know, we've still got to be able to be more consistent with those runners in third with less than two outs. And we're working on it. The guys are clearly working on it, but working on it and executing it need to sync up.
On that play with Yachty caught off second base, it didn't hurt you guys. Did he think that was strike three?
No, he didn't think it was strike three. We had something in mind, and he had something that, you know, we just were trying to look to do, and didn't work. It didn't work out, but, you know, well,
it did not work.
It did not. Well, it didn't work. You're right. but he did not get caught off or sleeping. I can put it that way.
Did you see good things? Eight-game road trip, tough road trip. Did you learn anything about your team heading into the week before the deadline here?
I got even more confirmation about this team. And look, I look at things from not a different lens, because the lens ultimately look at is whether we win or lose. But you also look at things how we went about it. And I saw a lot of really tough at-bats. I saw guys completely staying in the moment. I saw guys competing. And listen, no one's going to say, oh, it was a tough road trip. That's our jobs, you know, to show up and compete. But the reality is it was. Coming out of the All-Star break, you know, 8 games in 7 days, doubleheaders, travel, day games, night games. Day's a warmer day. Again, not an excuse, just the reality of it. And guys were fighting tooth and absolute nail. And you know, most of the games we didn't win, you know, today maybe beat ourselves a little bit by not executing at the plate a little bit. But, you know, we didn't give any quarter, and we took some quarters over the course of this eight-game road trip, and I'm encouraged by that.
That's Mike Schilt trying to explain why he's encouraged after the eight-game road trip. And, again, you were in, like, games like today. You stranded the bases loaded twice, including, you know, once in the top of the eighth inning. You had bullpen issues. You had execution issues. But the flip side of that is you lost 5 of 8, and you're back to 551. And 51, 5 games back in the National League wild card right now, and just a huge jumble of teams, and also 8.5 back in the division. And while the Cubs are coming in, and if you sweep them, you could only be 5.5 back. How much faith do you actually have in that? So the trade deadline next week. I'm also eager to see if we start to see some money being swallowed, like Johnny Peralta or Mike Leake, if that's a Brett Cecil or a Greg Holland, to give some opportunities for guys that are in Memphis right now or in Springfield right now to open up spots both on the 25-man and the 40-man. We'll talk about that and more with Tom Ackerman next. That's What's on Tap, sponsored by Smart Contractors. Chris Rabe with you. We are here until 10 o'clock tonight. It's the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. We're back with Tom after this on KMOX.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I don't go out there and laugh.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman joins us to kick off the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Cardinals fall 7-3 to the Reds, 3-5 on the road trip, and time is quickly running out for the trade deadline. What's up, man?
Well, what's going on? Another tough loss for the Cardinals.
Ugh.
And I think we're. I'm hearing and reading a lot of stuff about, well, if they were to move forward from here, it would be very tough for them to make the playoffs. Or, you know, history shows that if you have a 500 record at this point in the season, you won't make the playoffs. My question would be, playoffs? I mean, I just want to see them win a couple games here back to back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have not thought of them as a postseason team since right around the time before Mike Matheny got fired. This is a team that is not. And we've seen it. We've seen it for about a month or so now that it's a team that is not capable of making a run in October, let alone get there. So, yeah, there are a lot of things that need to be assessed. And as we get closer to the trade deadline, I think one thing John Mozeliak wanted to find out was what kind of a team did he have here, and if they were in a holding pattern, would that and they started to win some games in Cincinnati and in Chicago, would that mean go all in and go get some of the big boys, you know, and make things happen? Or is it time to start selling off some pieces? I do think they'll still do a lot for the long term. I do not think that this team is going to sell off everybody. I don't think this team has any interest in tanking. I don't think this franchise has any interest in doing anything but getting to the World Series in 2019. But at some point, you do have to be honest with yourself and look at your team and say, this bullpen, this Jekyll and Hyde offense, this team that is throwing a bunch of young starters, they're great. I like them. But a team that's basically being fueled by young starting pitchers is not a team that is going to be contending for the World Series in 2018. They would have had to have made some drastic changes for that to happen, because this current roster, no matter who's managing them, is just not quite getting it done.
I mean, I think there are a couple of different ways to sell, and I don't know how many guys you have that you could trade and get a reasonable return for. And I go back to last year, the fact that they did not move Lance Lynn, and then the fact that Lance Lynn got a one-year $12 million deal from the Twins. Oftentimes we overvalue, you know, the players that we watch the most. So what do they actually have that would draw a return, and a return that would help them moving forward? Maybe Bud Norris, maybe, Marcell Ozuna. But I think that he figures into the plans next year. I don't think you're going to get anyone in the free agent market that on paper could do as much for you next year as Marcell Ozuna. Maybe Jose Martinez, but again, what is a team going to give up in the American League? Who needs a DH right now that is such a small sample size of accomplishments in the big leagues? He's probably more valuable to the Cardinals than he is anyone else. So can you sell by cutting your losses on guys like Brett Cecil and Greg Holland at some point, maybe even Luke Gregerson. And if it means DFAing those guys, if it means swallowing a lot of contract, that could open up roster spots both on the 40-man and the 25-man to bring some guys up and see what you have and some of these guys in the minors. And maybe it doesn't spark you for the rest of this year, but maybe it certainly sets you up to have a much different-looking bullpen next year at least and maybe a different-looking rotation.
I agree with that way of thinking. I think that it's time to, if you're in sell mode, you need to sell off some pieces, and you're not going to get a big return. It's actually time to it's actually more of cutting your losses than it is selling. So there are some players that are making some money that, unfortunately, you may just have to eat their salary. I think, you know, Holland comes to mind, and you mentioned some others. Yeah. It would not be popular at all. I mean, the players that real if you really want to get a return, I just don't know what you're asking for if you're the Cardinals. Like, do you want to go get and do you have interest in some excitable prospect who's a position player or maybe even a pitcher? Let's say that you don't think that you can improve enough to make the playoffs this year. You know, one player that would right now he's never been hotter in his life is Matt Carpenter. But I don't think that would be a very popular trade unless you got something incredible in return. Matt Carpenter is a heck of a player, and for the last couple of weeks, he's been the best hitter in the National League. So that I would say would be a no. Marcelo Ozuna is an interesting one. For me, that would be a no because I think that entering his contract year in 2019 and with a better health going into the season and his shoulder.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see, I think you'll see a much more confident and better Marcelo Ozuna out of the gate. And then the other one's Bud Norris. And I think that's fine with me. The Cardinals obviously have a lot of arms coming, both starters and relievers that look pretty darn good. That could end up being a closer, maybe even now. So that would be just fine. But, you know, mostly I think you just want to create some sort of change right now. You know, if you go forward with this current roster, I don't think you're doing yourself any favors one way or the other. One, you probably can't make the playoffs with the current assembly of players. And two, you're not really improving 2019 if you stick with what you have. So I do expect John Mozeliak to be active. The other player that you mentioned is Jose Martinez, and I've always thought from the very beginning of this season that he would be a good trade chip for an American League team. But again, what are you asking for in return? And, you know, Jose would probably be, if you were trying to make, let's say you were, and this won't happen anymore, but if you were making a trade proposal to the Orioles for Manny Machado and you put together some prospects and then you sweeten the deal with a veteran who can rake like Jose Martinez or Jed Jerko, who's been dealing with an illness. Jed Jerko would be very attractive right now for, I think, if he was completely healthy, to a serious contender, especially in the American League. Think of a Red Sox or somebody like that. You know, that would be, I think, appealing to somebody over there. But it's an interesting time to be a Cardinals fan. I mean, look, I think most of us were pretty honest about it that this team was really going to have to rattle off a 7-8-9 game winning streak to get back into this race. And what happened was not only did they not do that, but the Pittsburgh Pirates did. They won 11 in a row. They have soared past the Cardinals, and that's pretty much the end. I mean, unless they do something unforeseen, this team is what it is. As Bill Parcells said, your record is you are what your record says you are. You're 51-51. That's kind of how the season's been.
Maybe Marcelo Ozuna's hurt. I mean, he can't throw, and right, he's hitting all singles. Maybe at some point part of selling this year is sitting him down and maybe putting him on the DL and using that roster spot for someone and saying, get right. I don't know if – and this is purely speculation on my part, but, you know, getting some other guys some opportunities and trying to make sure that he's right going in the next year. If he remains with the team. It's weird. Watch. He literally cannot throw the baseball.
Right. And that, you know, and diving for balls and making great catches, we know he has the athletic ability and the eye for it. He reads the ball very well off the bat. We can see why he was chosen as a Gold Glove winner. He's a good defender, but it's not the full package. He's clearly not hitting the ball with power. You know, he singles to right. That's great. He goes the other way. But they're kind of like, as Rick Horton described on the radio broadcast today, you know, kind of a cue ball shot in off the end of the bat, things like that. It's just not the full throttle Marcelo Zuna, not even close to what we saw last year with the Marlins. I don't care who was batting in the lineup with him, Giancarlo Stanton or Mickey Mantle. I mean, he's not the same guy as he was last year. So that's pretty obvious to me. I don't know about how injured he is, because one thing is the Cardinals have been not shy at all about putting players on the DL.
Yeah, I know. I know.
With this new 10-day DL rule, they're just like, here, you go on the DL, and you go here, you go there. You know,
it's just really weird. Tom Ackerman is with us. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln Ford Sports Open Line. At least one thing that I've enjoyed, and unfortunately sometimes it's talking about moves that don't work or you know, games that end in disappointment, but I really enjoyed hearing from Mike Schilt before the game, but especially after the game, as he walks through kind of his thought process and walks through moves and decision-making. And just as a baseball fan, it's really interesting to hear Schilt go through on a night-to-night basis what he was thinking, what he was doing, and how it ended up working out or not working out.
I agree with you. I heard him on the post-game show, on your show today, and I thought that he was very good again. Now, one thing I thought about when I was listening to him is, if he says the same things 2 months from now, will he start to draw some criticism, or will he wear down from the same questions, or how will he handle the media in a pressure situation? Right now, he's the new guy, and everybody likes him. That said, I do think his approach is a lot different than Mike Matheny, and I do not want this to be a criticism of Mike Matheny, because one thing that it's kind of wearing on me is I still hear criticisms of Mike Matheny, and it's like, you know, the guy got fired. It's over. It doesn't get any worse in the profession than to get fired from your job, I don't think. So, you know, he's already been dismissed. So let's just talk about Mike Schilt, the person. I like him, and I think that he's a smart baseball guy. I like his somewhat aggressive nature, sticking with what he likes to do, and the way that he explains baseball. I trust that he knows the game, and I feel pretty good about moving forward, you know, evaluating Mike Schilt as a manager for 2019. I do. I don't know if he'll be the guy, but I do think he'll be considered, and I think he should be considered. He's very well respected. He's earned his spot, and I actually would say the same thing about, you know, the coaching staff too, Badaska, and I kind of like what I've seen from some other folks that have brought in. But in terms of Mike Schilt and his dealing with the media, I thought that his show on Sunday on KMOX was a good listen. I like his pregame and postgame interviews. The players seem to be playing hard for him, and I would like to see him, because he has yet to manage a home game. Let's see him. Well, that's not true. He managed one home game after Mike got fired, but he has yet to manage a full series at home. Like, let's get him home and see what happens this weekend against the Cubs and see if they can get a little something going. Not that they're going to make the playoffs or anything, but I'd like to see some sort of run of success and see what that hard work that Mike Schilt is putting in pay off a little bit.
Yeah, I think if anything, kind of goes to show that, especially with the issues they've had, like the bullpen over this 8-game road trip, 27 in the third innings, 40 hits, 20 walks, 23 earned runs. What the hell does a manager have to do with that?
Yeah, nothing. You know, like I tweeted the other day, and this, again, this was not a knock on anybody, but I just said, you know, after Bud Norris gave up the home run to Suarez and then the game-winning hit in the bottom of the ninth, I said, and Mike Matheny is nowhere in the vicinity. You know, it doesn't matter. Mike Matheny, Mike Schilt, Casey Stengel, or another Yankee reference I just threw in, you will not win if your bullpen is poor. In fact, you're not going to win if you don't field the ball, if you don't have good fielders, and you're probably not going to win if you don't have some thump in the middle of your lineup. Players win. You know, you look through history, world champions are crowned because the players put together extraordinary performances. And usually it was a player or two that you didn't expect that had an extraordinary performance. So players do win. Managers put you in the best position to win. And I think that Mike Schild is good at that. And I think that for a time, Mike Matheny, there were some strengths of Mike Matheny and some weaknesses that he will learn from. But, you know, the Cardinals are going to be led by a new manager in 2019, whether it's Schild or somebody with more experience or maybe somebody younger with less experience. I don't know, but whatever the case, I think Mike Schild should be given a great opportunity to lead this team in a for the rest of the year, be evaluated how he handles multiple situations, multiple players. I think he does need a much improved bullpen, though. It is just, you know, you just can't let this thing go any further.
Tom Ackerman with us on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Line. I think that one thing is for sure, this division is going to get better and better and better. You know about the Cubs. You know about the Brewers. The Pirates had an 11-game win streak snap today. The Reds are better than the Cardinals going back to the beginning of May. Everyone in the division is better than the Cardinals going back to the beginning of May. I don't know the long-term plan for the Reds, but they're certainly playing better under Jim Riggleman. I mean, this division's going to be really good moving forward.
Yes, it is. And I think that in just this year, I think the Pirates are probably going to get aggressive here in the next week and try to make a run for this thing. So you've got to take control and figure out how to get yourself back. This team has tons of talent in the minor leagues, especially in the area of pitching. First and foremost, you've got to fix this bullpen. I think the rotation kind of speaks for itself. You know who the contenders will be for the rotation in 2019, unless you want to go out and grab somebody else. I think you have some pretty good talent in that area. And then I've got to think that the Cardinals are aggressive in adding an impact hitter. They have a good leadoff man in Matt Carpenter who won't bat anywhere else, and he rakes there. They have Yadier Molina, who I have to think at age 36, 37, will still knock some big clutch hits. And I think that Marcell Ozuna, I mentioned, will have a better year next year, healthy contract year. I think there are some other players you can point to. Tommy Pham has talent. We've seen a major drop-off this year. Dexter Fowler, talent, major drop-off this year. Got to think there's a bounce back at some point if they are Cardinals in 2019. But you've got to add somebody that would be an MVP candidate, somebody that puts fear into the opposition. And right now, aside from Matt Carpenter's ridiculous tear, there is nobody that does that. And that's a problem. So it's time to address it, and that will be John Mozeliak's job and Bill DeWitt's job.
Hey, switch gears for a moment. We're going to have Joel Edmondson on in about 30 minutes, and was talking to Joel after he signed the one-year, $3 million deal yesterday to avoid arbitration about watching Washington and Vegas and some of his buddies, and then watching the Capitals and Ovechkin and Oshie celebrate after they won the Cup. And I said, who would be the guy who would go on the Ovechkin-like just absolute bender for a couple of weeks? And he said, well, you're probably talking to him.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's hilarious. I would say it'd probably be him. That's funny. That's great. Who else would it be? I'm trying to think of somebody else.
Oh, there are so many young guys there that will go out and get after it, I think. But, like, every time you watch, like, Washington and the celebration and, you know, the parallels to that team in the Blues, I know that kind of sounds like a broken record at some point, but I just keep thinking about what the party would be like for weeks and maybe even months after the Blues win a cup.
Yes, every year the Blues, we say this every year, they have the opportunity to make history because that team that wins it will go down in history in the city just like the Cubs went down in history in Chicago, seriously. I mean, it's getting to that point where you have generations of fans that are without a cup, and it's a diehard fan base. Many fans have been there since the late 60s and 70s waiting for this cup to come to St. Louis. Now, that also can work the other way. It's exciting to think about, but it also can put a little pressure. And much like the Cubs dealt with for a long time, when things started to go wrong, it was like, oh, here we go again. You know, Mizzou kind of deals with that. Mizzou hasn't won a national championship in football or basketball, and things start to go wrong. Oh, no, here we go. Negativity. And the Blues have got to find a way to change that culture and win games. And one thing that Doug Armstrong's done in an excellent summer is he's gotten very strong up the middle. And the Edmondson move on defense is a very nice move. I think it's an affordable contract for them, saves them a little money. He doesn't go to arbitration. He would have gone to arbitration this morning. So a very nice job, and now they can talk little bit later next year about extending him, you know, age 25. I mean, he's going to be a heck of a player. This will be his fourth full season. A lot of great hockey still ahead of him. He's become a leader on this team. It's very exciting. I think that this hockey team, I know that fans are hoping this isn't another big tease, but I really do believe that they've put together the right formula, at least.
Yeah.
It just all comes down to Jake Allen. You just have to put in the hope that Jake, now knowing that he's the number one guy, there's nobody looking over his shoulder, he's the man, it will come down to how well Jake Allen plays. And the defense in front of him, I think, will be solid. I think up the middle there will be really good. I'd love to see Vladimir Tarasenko dialed in all season and somebody to feed him the puck, and it looks like they may have done that. So it's going to be a really good year. I've renovated Scottrade Center. The place should have a little more electricity in it with the new renovations and everything looking really slick and sharp. I think it's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. All right. Last but not least, you're headed to Cooperstown to see Bob Costas get inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How excited are you?
I'm very excited. It'll be great to see Bob. He's one of the best to ever do it in really any form of media in the area of sports. And it's a great thing to be able to celebrate the fact that he's a KMOX alum, too. So I'm excited to see him. He'll go in on Saturday. And I'm heading out there to New York tomorrow, and I'll make my way to Cooperstown. It'll be a good time.
All right, man. Have fun. We look forward to hearing from you, the great vignettes this week, and also the coverage from this weekend's festivities. Appreciate the time, man. Have safe travels. We'll talk to you from Cooperstown.
Anytime. Thanks.
That's Tom Ackerman. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on your home of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
All right, telephone number 436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet me at CHRABE. Ben Boyd, the executive producer, Mike Anderson's here in the KMOX studios. Joel Edmondson coming up 7:15, Barry Deitch 7:30, Danny Mack 8 until 9, and then Dan Reardon with the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis Golf Show. Chris Raby with you back after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.